You know, every so often I think back on my college days in the early 1980s. I was a student at Concordia College in St. Paul, Minnesota, and I was enrolled in the pre-seminary program, which means that after college I was going to go to the seminary and study to become a pastor. However, even though I was enrolled in a pre-seminary program during my college years, I did not always make godly choices. You see, like most college students, I would stay up very late on Saturday nights, either because I was studying hard or because I was having fun with my friends. Come to think of it, I was usually having fun with my friends. Anyway, when Sunday morning would roll around, I would often have the following conversation with myself while lying in bed. Sunday morning already, but I'm still so tired. I should just stay in bed. I mean, I have to get up for a 7 a.m. class every weekday, and Saturday and Sunday are my only days to sleep in. But I know I should go to church. Wait a minute, I'd say to myself. I'm going to be a pastor one day, and when I'm a pastor, I'll be spending practically every Sunday in church the rest of my life. So I'm sure God won't mind if I miss a few Sundays while I'm in college. Yep, that's what I'd say to myself as I'd turn off my alarm and roll over and go back to sleep. But deep down in my heart, I knew I was sinning, and I felt guilty. I knew I was breaking the third commandment. Today, we continue our sermon series on the Ten Commandments by focusing on the third commandment, "You shall remember the Sabbath day." Now, most people think that this commandment is kept simply by showing up for church on Sunday morning. In fact, that's why preaching on the third commandment is a huge challenge. Why is it a challenge? Well, you are here. You're in church. In fact, here's how the devil would like you to think this morning. The devil would like you to say, "Oh, good. Pastor is finally preaching about a commandment I can keep. I mean, I'm in church today, unlike some other people I know. I'm doing my duty. And so I guess I can tune out for the rest of the sermon because what Pastor is about to say is for all those other people who are sleeping in or out fishing or doing something. In fact, I might even do them a favor and bring them a tape of Pastor's sermon." Yes, that's the danger in preaching sermons on the third commandment. We're tempted to think that it only applies to the people who aren't here. But I've got news for you. My sermon today applies to you and to me, even if we are here every Sunday without fail. In fact, did you know that we even break the third commandment while we're sitting in church? How can that be, you wonder? Well, listen to the rest of the sermon, and you'll find out. First of all, what is the third commandment? Well, in Exodus 20, it says, "Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy." Now, what does that mean? Well, in his small catechism, Martin Luther gives this explanation. "We should fear and love God so that we do not despise preaching in his word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it." Now, why does Luther explain the third commandment in this way? Well, we need to go back to the beginning to find out. In Genesis chapters 1 and 2, we read that God created the universe and all life in 6 ordinary days. And what happened after that? Well, listen to these words from Genesis. "God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. Now, this section of Scripture teaches us about the Sabbath day. In fact, that word Sabbath is based on a Hebrew verb called Shabbat, which means to cease or to finish. We're told that on the seventh day, God rested from his work. Why? Was God tired? No, of course not. God doesn't get tired. God rested because he was finished. He looked at his perfect creation and said, "It is finished. I'm complete. It's very good." From that point on, God made the seventh day a special day for humans. Why? Well, the seventh day was to remind us that God is the creator of all things and that we are sustained by his work alone. We depend on God for all that we need. God is our life. Sadly, Adam and Eve did not remember the Sabbath day. They believed the devil's lie instead. In fact, they thought they could live just fine without God. They deluded themselves into thinking that they could take care of themselves and live by their own work. So they rejected their Creator, and things have been a mess ever since because we have inherited Adam's sinful nature. That means we also fail to remember the Sabbath day. Now, this brings us to the third commandment as we find it expressed in Exodus chapter 20. At this point in history, God had used Moses to lead Abraham's descendants out of Egypt. Hundreds of years had passed since the beginning when God had created everything. God tells his people to remember the Sabbath day, and then he gives them a ritual to help them do this. He tells them to work 6 days, just as God created the world in 6 days. And then on the seventh day, they were to rest from their work as God did from his. Now, why did God give them this ritual? We often think that it's all about physical work. You know, God doesn't want us to exhaust ourselves, so he commands that we rest at least 1 day a week. Well, it's true that God does care about our physical lives. He does want us to get adequate rest. But my friends, that's not the primary point behind the third commandment. You see, the third commandment is primarily about spiritual rest. Simply put, the third commandment is telling us to trust God. God wants us to trust in his work for us and find rest in his promises. With that understood, we can see how the third commandment applies to us today. Simply put, God commands us to trust in Jesus' work for us. In fact, in our reading from Colossians, the Apostle Paul says that the Old Testament Sabbath ritual was actually a picture of Christ and all that he would do for us. Think about it for a second. When did Jesus die? He died at the end of the sixth day. And when he had completed his work of saving us at the end of the sixth day, he said, "It is finished." Jesus was then buried, and for the entire seventh day, he rested in the tomb. Then on the first day of the week, Jesus came to life. In fact, that's why many Christians throughout history choose to worship on Sunday. This is the day Christ rose from the dead. Jesus came to restore the creation that we destroyed with our sin against God. Jesus has given us the hope of a new creation. In fact, that new creation begins in us. In 2 Corinthians, Paul writes, "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. What Paul means is that Jesus gives us the forgiveness of our sins and the certain hope of eternal life with God. Therefore, we now keep the third commandment by trusting in Jesus every day and rejoicing in all that He has done for us. That's why Luther said that we should not despise preaching in the Word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. And notice, Luther didn't even say anything about coming to church on Sunday. Even though this is very important, Luther's intention is that we should take every day as a time to hear God's Word and gladly learn it. Sadly, we don't always do that. Sometimes we break the commandment by not taking time to attend the services of God's Word. We fill our schedule with other priorities. Worse yet, sometimes we might even rest in sinful activities. My friends, if we fail to hear God's Word, whether it's at church or in Bible class or family or personal devotions, if we're ignoring this time with God's Word, we're thereby showing that we despise what Christ has done for us. However, even when we do attend church, we can still find ways to despise what Christ has done. This happens, for example, when our minds wander during the scripture readings or the sermon. This happens when we fail to think about the meaning of the words in the hymns we are singing. This happens when we fail to prepare for the Lord's Supper and come up here as though we were going through a drive-through restaurant. Finally, we also break the third commandment when we do attend church and do go to Bible class and do have family devotions, but we do these things for the wrong reasons. In other words, we sin when we think that attending church or going to Bible class or having family devotions is something we're doing for God. For instance, have you ever had this attitude? Oh, I really don't want to go to church today, but I know that attending church makes God happy. So I'll do my duty and attend church. If I attend church enough, maybe God will be impressed with me. I mean, He'll certainly like me more than the other people I know who never come to church. In fact, if I start coming to church on a regular basis, maybe God will bless me for having such good attendance. Yes, I will go to church, and I'll make God happy. My friends, attending church is not something we do for God. If we think that God loves us more than others just because we attend church, then we have been deceived. In fact, trying to earn God's blessing by attending church is a sure way to earn eternal damnation. But if attending church is not something we do for God, then why do we attend? Here's the answer. We attend church and go to Bible class and have family devotions because this is how God serves us. The third commandment reminds us that God is our Creator as well as our Savior, who has given us the hope of a new creation through His death and resurrection for us. My friends, Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve. And Jesus served you by dying on the cross for your sins, including your sins against the third commandment. Remember these words of Jesus from our gospel reading. He said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest for your souls." Jesus is our Sabbath rest. Listen to this passage from Hebrews chapter 4. "There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his." Now please understand that passage I just read from Hebrews is not talking about rest from physical work. God is not saying you can quit your job. Instead, He's talking about rest from works of the law. Works of the law means that we're trying to make ourselves worthy of God's love by obeying Him and working for Him. But my friends, we sinners can't earn God's love. In fact, our sinful works earn nothing but His wrath. The good news is that God calls us to rest in His work for us. And that's what the third commandment is all about. God wants you to rest in Christ and all that He has done for you. God wants you to hear the preaching of His Word and gladly hear and learn it, because that's how God blesses you and serves you with the blessings of Christ. My friends, we're all guilty of breaking the third commandment in a multiple amount of ways. But the good news is that Jesus has done something about our sin. Jesus has given us the hope of a new creation through His death and resurrection for us. And Jesus is here today serving you with His Word. Jesus uses His Word to convict us of our sin, but He also uses His Word to comfort us and to give us rest by pronouncing that our sins are forgiven and by assuring us that we are loved by Him now and for all eternity. Today, Jesus says to you with His Word, "Come to Me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest for your souls." When I was in college, I admit I broke the third commandment. But God moved me to confess my sin, and He moved me to come to Him for rest. Now I'm 42 and I've been a pastor for over 15 years. But you know what? I still struggle with sin against the third commandment, just as you do. But my friends, God invites us to repent and come to Him for rest. That's why we're here today at this service, the place where God serves us with His words of mercy, love, and life. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.